Here we go. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's ready to throw another Big Brother recap at you right in the kidneys. I'm Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Got a good one for you here tonight to talk about everything going on Big Brother and also on the Big Brother live feeds, plus a special treat as we will later on in the show, at the end of the day, at the end of the podcast, we will be talking with this man about what's going on across the pond in Big Brother UK. We'll get an update from this man, Kurt Clark. Kurt, how are you?
I am pretty good.
Yeah, well, Kurt is providing us with a very special recap because another Big Brother 16 alumni is back on our TVs or is on somebody's TV this summer as Frankie Grande is in Big Brother UK.
Who wants to shine bright like a Frankie?
Yeah. And Kurt has been following Big Brother UK and will give us a short update at the end of the show about what's going on there. But if you're a Frankie Grande hater, as many of us are, right, Kurt?
Yeah, it'll be pretty brief. It's only been on for a week, so not a lot to update, but just giving people kind of a frame of reference.
Yeah, so we'll check in with Kurt about the Big Brother UK, but along the way, Kurt's here to talk about Big Brother US with us here tonight. Got a good tweet from our buddy Matt Forsyth tonight who said, smart move waiting for Big Brother to be renewed for another season after this one before having Kurt Clark and his Clark curse on the podcast.
Yeah, although who knows, maybe if Big Brother 19 is a... anything like Big Brother 9, this could actually be the death knell for things.
Yeah, these Niners for Big Brother have not worked out yet. All right, of course, the big news in the last 36 hours or so that CBS announced that Big Brother 19 will be coming to CBS All Access this fall. More on that development as we get more news. We don't exactly know what's going on. It was announced today. I saw that Reality Blurred was reporting that Julie Chen will be a part of Big Brother 19, but we don't know necessarily what the format is going to be. But a man who just found out he is going to be losing even more sleep this fall, Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Pretty good. A little concerned. Kurt's presence has me wary. I'm not going to lie, but we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we will see how it all goes. And yeah, very interesting to sort of think about the possibilities of the Big Brother 19 and where it's going to happen because the finale, I believe, is September 21st. You imagine that they probably need at least a long weekend to, knock some ants out and disinfect the place and then before the new tenants move in. Isn't that customary, Kurt?
Well, it's interesting. In the UK version, literally the civilian version ended with the finale last Tuesday and the celebrity version started on Thursday. So they, at least in that version, they turn it around in 48 hours and pretty much kind of probably steam clean the entire place and disinfect. So hopefully there's at least that much time here.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see as that goes. My favorite thing about Big Brother 19 is the fact that everybody on Big Brother 18 who feels like they will be extremely famous after they come out of the house will be completely overshadowed by the current season of Big Brother that will be starting. And we will be doing our cast preview the day they get out of the house. So sorry to everybody in Big Brother 18 as they plan their fame and fortune after the show.
It'd be pretty funny if while the finalist is sitting in the house and they're kind of being to be brought out into the world, people are starting to clean already around them during the finale. they start moving the couch. They have to stand up and move to like a folding chair. I think it'll be interesting to see how they treat that.
Yeah. Alex, it'll be a scene like the Survivor Worlds Apart finale where it's like, okay, all right, let's get off the stage and the new house guests are moving in.
Oh!
Yeah. Pissed!
Don't matter. Sorry. You move it along. Your time is done.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into talking about tonight. I thought that there was a lot of interesting developments on the show. I was reading on Twitter, not everybody loved this episode. I saw certain people saying, our own Antonio Mazzaro, among others, saying this was one of the most boring episodes of Big Brother. But I thought there was a lot to explore in terms of everybody really showing the knife to Devon eventually by the end of the episode, her going up on the block, plus all of these new developments that we're seeing for the first time on the TV show between Pauly and Z. And we'll talk about it all. Plus, we'll take your questions, hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel over at robiswebsite.com/YouTube, where you can check out my interview from yesterday, where I had the winner of the original Big Brother, Eddie McGee, here in the studio yesterday to talk about what he's been up to. We talked a little bit about Big Brother, about what he's been doing after the show as well. You can check that out on the YouTube channel, and the podcast version is posted as well. All right, so let's dive in here, and let's pick things up with our top story at this hour. Devon going up on the block. She is the person that Pauly and his side of the house is going to target. We saw that Paul was seemingly from the episode just looking for somebody that would go up there and take one for the team and not be sketch as they were nominated this week. Somebody that could handle being up on the block. We've got a live eviction coming up in 24 hours. Alex, did you feel like that the show got things correct?
Yeah, it was pretty fair. There really wasn't that much. I mean, the good thing about feeds that don't have a lot of development is it's pretty hard to get the edit wrong because there's not a lot that you have to nail. So they've done a pretty good job, I think, this season. And I don't think there's not a lot of alternate stories to tell right now.
Alex, did you feel like the show did a good job, though, in terms of Paul and his relative innocence in terms of the plot to get Devon out of the house?
Yeah, I think so. At least at this point in the conversation, certainly, the veto meeting takes place on Monday. So the course of the weekend was a lot of, Paulie is the person who really wanted that agenda. Paul was still really... His ideal scenario was always going to be getting Bridget out, whether or not that makes much sense to us.
All right. So one of the things that Devon really was trying to drive home throughout this episode was she was trying to go to Bridget and say, hey, Nicole, you can't trust Nicole. We saw her then go to Paul and Pauly as they were playing chess. PP was playing a very big chess match. And Devon went over like, hey, did you talk to Nicole yet about Nicole going up on the block? Kurt, as a resident of the Chicago area, do you have a rooting interest in Nicole this season?
I was rooting for her going in, not because she's from the Midwest. I love seeing that she's wearing a Michigan State sweatshirt, so my alma mater. But she seems to have really just kind of taken a back seat to everything and doesn't want to play almost. The fact that she basically, when the moment she hears anything, she'll immediately go tell the guys. I'm not really rooting for her. I'm finding it hard to root for many people, and she's within that large group of people I'm not necessarily rooting for.
Well, I felt like that Devon really did help to add to this mess that she's in this week with constantly pointing the finger at Nicole. I mean, this has definitely been a storyline that we've been watching all through the season. And certainly I think that that got to another level after the HOH competition last week, where Frank outed Nicole as the person who was throwing Devon's name out. And that has definitely been on Devon's mind since then. Do you feel like that Devon was overly aggressive about her bloodlust for Nicole?
I think definitely. But I think that's the only way she knows how to play. She'll pick one. It seems like each week she picks kind of a single target and really tries to focus in on them. I mean, it was Frank up to this point, and now it seems to be Nicole. And she doesn't really realize that that's not because that's not in the cards for Pauly. It's not in the cards for Paul.
Alex, I mean, are we missing it on the TV show? Like, is there a bit of a movement at all in the house to evict Nicole? It seems like that Devon just keeps talking about what she wants, but it's the same as me listing off various things around my house that I want. It doesn't matter what I keep saying what I want. It doesn't mean those things are going to happen.
Yeah, if I had wheels, I'd be a wagon type thing. I think it speaks to Devon had settled into a power position early in the game with the 8-pack, with the 5 within the 8-pack.
But that was like six weeks ago.
Yes, I'm aware. But that's the frame of mind she got herself into. Then, I think she never got out of it. She still sees herself as a power player with clout in the house. She was able to get Frank out, and she saw that as her move. In reality, it was just kind of a mutually aligned move. Other people started distancing themselves from her well before Frank left, but she was so caught up in the Frank thing that she never saw it. Now she thinks she still has social capital to pull, especially with the girls, and those days are done. To be perfectly honest, the Tiffany-Victor swap, I mean, Tiffany going out and Victor coming in just changed everything in terms of the social dynamics here. I mean, we were looking at, a girl power situation, and now we're looking at, you know, man juice in the hot tub. It's a very different game now, Rob.
Hard to imagine a scenario where taking Tiffany out of the equation led to a worse scenario for Davon.
It is, but I think that speaks a bit to Davon's problem in Big Brother in general, is that she gets so focused on a target, and it's often someone she had a working relationship with. The problem with Tiffany is there's too much going on, and then she felt betrayed, but they had a final two deal, so there was at least some common ground there to work from. Her and Frank had been having talks. She gets out these people that she makes enemies of that were originally allies. Now she's got a lot of people left in that house that she hasn't put in any kind of legwork with. She thinks Paul should still be an ally to her because they were on Team Big Sister. Those days are long gone, and even then they didn't matter much. I think she's putting a lot of stock in this idea that she has people she doesn't have.
Yeah. So Davon is certainly on the hot seat up against Bridget, who has really ingratiated herself back into the good graces of a lot of the other people in the house. I said a week ago, I don't see Bridget going home at this point. I don't know how people will look an eviction and say, you know what? Biggest target in the house is Bridget. We got to get rid of her. We got to take her out. I felt like that she was somebody that people were going to look at her as a pawn, and potentially that's going to be the case moving forward for her. And I feel like that Bridget is going to be around in this season for a while.
Thank you for that, actually.
Oh, no, you're welcome. You're welcome, Bridget. The other top story that we got a lot of tonight was the real deep dive into the relationship between Zakiya and Pauly. And we saw Pauly up on the block, but really for the first time this season, we really explored that on the TV show. I had an email here from our good friend Rich Tackenberg, who wanted to know about why haven't we seen much of the Pauly and Zakiya dysfunction on the TV show, which has been all over the live feeds. Isn't it good to have that kind of on-screen drama in the show? We finally get our first major dose of that. Kurt, as somebody who's not following the live feeds as much as the LFC, what was your first experience? What was your reaction to this storyline tonight?
First reaction was great. We're seeing more Zakiya. Second of all, it's okay. We're seeing Zakiya really for the sole purpose of kind of highlighting Pauly's position in the house. I think it wasn't a great look for her in terms of. I completely agree with the Alex and Brett and Taryn in terms of it seems like lots of the women they brought in the house, they would potentially be power players, are really just kind of, you know, thirsty and falling for the guys. And I like that we saw some Zakiya tonight, but I didn't like the context for it necessarily. I especially didn't like her openness with calling out Paul as her next target. I could not believe that was what she thought was a great move, to be that honest with Pauly.
Yeah, Alex, it's almost as if the show was presenting this sort of love triangle that's going on between Pauly, Zakiya, and Paul, where we saw that Zakiya was like, okay, well, I'm going to sleep downstairs and you can sleep up here. And Pauly is like, all right, I already said that I'm doing that. Why do you tell me again? I know I said that I'm doing that. And honestly, I'm already sleeping in the bed with him. So yeah, he gets kicked out of the bed with Zakiya, has to go sleep in the bed with Paul. And then she's like knocking on the door and then he's coming back downstairs. And then eventually they sort of get back on the same page to a degree or seemingly. And she's saying that I think that really what we need to do is target Paul. And that's like the worst thing that you could say to him. That is not friendship.
No, not at all. Yeah, I think my favorite part of that conversation was when he just said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and end this conversation because I don't do drama.
Yeah.
And every guy, like, that's guy speak. Every guy who says, I don't do drama, they're perfectly capable of doing drama. They just can't handle, they don't know how to mediate is really what they're, that's code for that.
It's when they're used to dealing with a woman and not a girl, though. Let's keep that in
look,
mind.
I don't deal with girls. I deal with women. Now, boys, on the other hand, I deal with a lot of boys, okay? I deal with my boy, your boy, homeboy, the other boy, but girls, I don't mess with that.
You're going to put that on me? Then we're just going to have to end this conversation. This conversation is going to have to be over because you don't put that on me.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm being honest, I feel like that I'm trying to vote you out of the house and I'm lying to you and you're asking me a lot of questions that I don't want to answer them. So I'm going to turn it around on you that you're being crazy right now and I can't deal with the drama. So that's enough of that.
Yeah. And it's frustrating because you would think this would be a sign for Zakiya to pull back and reevaluate, but instead it drives her the other way. It makes her think, oh no, I've done it. I've done the wrong thing. I have to go really just double down my efforts to apologize and, you know, get back in Polly's good graces. And it really just showcases this notion that everyone kind of felt on Friday night when the nominees were first made. Everyone's like, oh my God, Polly's going to put himself up as a pawn. How dumb is this? They might vote him out. And then everyone took a second and was like, wait a minute, the votes aren't there. There's no way the votes are there. Half the house is too scared to get rid of Paul, and the other half has no interest in doing it. It's insane the lock he has on all of this right now.
Yeah, the Zakiya thing is so puzzling because you have on the one hand, I think a lot of people want to root for Zakiya. I think that we would be very happy to see her emerge as somebody who was a power player, another PP in this season. But on the one hand, you know, you have a certain faction of people that like are really not happy with her, with how she's handled the Bridget situation this season, her and Big Meesh. And then on the other hand, you would love to see her stand up to Polly and stand up for herself. But unfortunately, she just keeps going back to that. So she's really just putting herself into a position where it's making it hard to root for her to come out, or I guess we are rooting for something, some movement, and like her to wake up.
Yeah, I wish I could remember who tweeted this to me because I'd like to shout them out, but I can't remember who it was. They mentioned that this reminded them of Alec and Topaz in the first Big Brother Canada, and I think that's really apt because that really was a very one-sided showmance in many ways, where Topaz seemed to be much more into it than Alec was, and Alec was always game first. He always seemed like he would never have a problem clipping Topaz, so to speak, if it came to that. And that, I think, is what we're seeing here, where Polly would like to keep Zakiya around as long as she's complacent and doing what he wants. As soon as Zakiya starts to ask questions or get ideas of her own, I think Polly's going to be looking to go a different direction.
Kurt, I just don't understand how Polly is playing this as well. It seems like a bad move to be so abrasive to Zakiya. I think it would be one thing if he was in the diary room sort of just telling us how he feels about her, but sort of like stringing her along. And it doesn't make him a good guy, but I think it probably makes him a better player in the game. That's to be right. So standoffish with her, especially in this scenario that started with him being on the block.
I think it just comes to the fact, you know, looking back to the fact that he had the confidence to put himself on the block and he knew he was going to take himself off. The fact that he won veto just cemented that in his mind. I think that he feels that he's unstoppable with a small group of bros, he's just getting overconfident. But and I don't know if it's technically overconfident because I'm having a really hard time seeing a situation where he's necessarily going to go up. Apart from a return ticket.
Hey, the only way you can get me on the block is when I nominate myself, okay? Nobody else could ever put me up on the block. And he's done a good job, to be fair, to be honest with you, that he's done a really good job this season. And I think that he's probably a better player than he is as far as a TV personality, where I feel like that he is smart about the game in a lot of ways, but I don't find him to be somebody who's clever or interesting on the show. And he's in that weird spot where he's not a fun villain, but he's also not a rootable hero.
Right. And I don't know if it's just that he was able to kind of profile Zakiya well enough that he knows, like, if he was a little bit abrasive to her, he knows that she kind of has a thing for him. So he kind of can walk this balance between how he can and can't treat her. And he's just standoffish enough that he's not going to completely tick her off, so that she's still at least somewhat on his side and willing to do what he wants that side of the house to do. So I think he's putting the minimum amount of effort he can into her to ensure that she doesn't target him.
Alex, let's talk about Paul and his HOH run this week, where he came into this week and felt like, okay, the target has to be Bridget. Bridget needs to go home. We've seen his HOH hijacked by Paulie to some degree, in that this is Davon, who Paul didn't really want on the block. Paulie insisted she had to be up on the block. Here she sits going into the eviction, looking very much like she could be a person who is going home, at least before we get into our tickets for Thursday night. So how do you think that Paul has handled this? Was it good for him to sort of be able to get maybe some of the blood off of his hands? Or is it more that he's going to have all the blood on his hands and Paulie will be the one who got what he wanted without getting blood on his hands?
No, I think it's good in a lot of ways. And whether or not this, I don't think this was necessarily a conscious play on his part as to why it's so good.
Oh!
But it works very well because the, you know, for the guys, you know, the Paulie, Corey, you know, the guys who really want whoever really wants Davon out, he appears very flexible and willing to go with a plan that's not necessarily his first plan if it's what other people want. And to other people, it does look like Paulie is pushing an agenda and that Paul is just complacent with that. So I think it doesn't make him look like as dangerous a player. The problem is if Paulie is so untouchable and everyone wants to work with him, then people might take the shot at Paul just to try to become him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take Kurt, a spot.
What's your take on Paul? I know he's been so polarizing all season long to the different people that we've had on the podcast. Some people can't stand him. Other people think he's the only saving grace on the show. I've enjoyed Paul this season. I think that this season, while Paul is grating, I think that this season is bleaker without him.
The first couple weeks, I was hoping he was going to be going out the door, going to be like one of the first three that were going out. I couldn't stand him. He's grown on me to the point where he's less grating. He's not by far my favorite. Less grating is hardly, you know, that's kind of, you know, praising with damn face. Something like that.
Yeah.
Damning with faint praise. Thank you. But it's, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the shouters in the diary room. So
then forget half the show.
Yeah, exactly. they recruited more than one this year, and he's the, and the fact that he's learning, which I like, the fact that he's kind of adjusting his game on the fly, that's a good thing, and that's interesting to watch. But he's by no means one of the people that I'm hoping takes this away.
Yeah. You know, Alex, that after being the HOH last week, we were sort of worried about James. He's really sort of settled back into the background once again this season, him and Natalie. So in terms of where James stands on all of this, do you feel like that this could potentially be a good thing or a bad thing for him if Davon goes home?
It's probably not great for James because James is pretty high up on Davon's list in terms of people she wouldn't go after. So for that reason alone, it's not great for James. Also, James sent Frank home, so it's always going to be in his better interest to get rid of Bridget over Davon. Bridget's certainly going to come for James before Davon will. The problem is if James doesn't really have the social capital to try to flip votes the way he would need to. And he's in a tough spot, kind of, because while he's not necessarily a name that anyone will be bringing up in the immediate future, he's also not sitting on the right side of the numbers for the long haul. So some kind of flip will need to happen for James to get in a better spot in the next few weeks.
I mean, does James have any sort of shot at this thing other than just going on a comp run? Figure if he has Natalie, are they connected enough to Bridget where at least that's three? And maybe could we be looking at maybe another person or two that they could add to this? Or are they just sort of drawing dead at this point?
Unfortunately not. They've not done a good job of maintaining a relationship with Bridget now that Bridget's kind of on her own. They're really kind of doing their own thing. And on top of that, you know, it's interesting. I think if James and Davon were somehow to like come together, they would be a really great Big Brother player because Davon is very perceptive, but she's just not willing to put in the time to, you know, fake it with people she doesn't like. James is really good at just the social nonsense and the day to day, but he has no perception on the strategy and the dealings of the game. So, yeah, I mean, the two of them together would really complement each other's weaknesses. they've just never, in last season or this one, put all their trust with each other. And I think that's a shame because you could see something good there potentially. It's just, it's looking tough at this point. They're running out of time.
All right, well, let's start to talk about this idea of the round trip ticket. And we've theorized from many different people that have been throwing this idea out there that Davon potentially might have the round trip ticket based on the fact that she has ticket number 8. And there is a sign in the house about Ocho Rios is the winning destination. Kurt, you do escape the rooms constantly. You're always looking for clues and things. Are you buying the Ocho Rios being the winning destination as the clue that Davon has the round trip ticket envelope?
You know, it's one of the... Sure. I mean, it's as good a theory as any. It's, yeah. Yes.
Friendship.
Friendship on that. It's a great theory, and it's one. And I'm if there's any sort of, I think it's one of the things where we don't know if there was clues pointing towards a specific ticket. That's the one thing we don't know, and we don't know if she does have the ticket, if that was a confirmed clue or just a happy coincidence. So I'm really interested to see if she does go, where that actually pans out. I think it would have been really interesting if it was made a little bit more apparent to us, the viewers, that the envelopes were numbered and that there was a clue to a quote-unquote correct envelope in the house. So I think it remains to be seen, but I'm cautiously optimistic that this might be the case.
Yeah.
For the record, Rob, it says dream destination, not
dream
winning
destination. Dream destination. Okay.
So it's a little more vague. To be perfectly honest, I didn't put any stock into it. I just saw, you know, I've been to Jamaica. It is a dream destination. I saw that and didn't think anything of it. But I think increasingly there's probably reason to think that this is a sound theory.
So dream destination, do they mean that that's where you go with Derek, his wife, and
my brother Cody? Yes.
Oh! We'll get into Nicole's dream in a little bit. But so Alex, let's just talk this through. So hypothetically speaking, if we get to tomorrow night, Davon goes out blindsided potentially, and then Julie Chen opens up her ticket. Hey, round trip ticket. You go back in. So what would that scenario look like, Davon, after she's been blindsided and then back in the house? Would it look that dissimilar from what we're actually seeing currently this week?
No, because what we're talking about is Polly's stranglehold on the game, and that resets the week. It doesn't do anything about Paulie's grip. It would take, you know, Davon coming back and winning HOH and flipping the, you know, something like that, I think. This has to be a two-part thing at this point. Just Davon returning isn't enough of a catalyst to unseat the power right now.
So Davon returning, plus also we would need Davon in power in some degree, or at the very least, Big Meesh or potentially Zakiya in power. Is that or is that too much of a stretch to hope for her potential allies to get into power?
I think it's theoretically possible. I just think it's also possible to see a situation where Zakiya falls under Polly's thumb somehow, or Michelle is able to be strong-armed by these guys, so I wouldn't rule it out either way.
Kurt, one of the other things that's going on right now this season is America's Care Package. They started the voting, I believe, after the Sunday night episode. The second most popular house guest in the house will receive an advantage that will allow them to cancel 2 votes coming up in next Thursday's show. I believe that James will be the person who potentially gets that. Do you think that maybe, is it possible that that might be enough to Davon to come back into the house and to just win James over?
Well, if she comes back into the house and the vote, there's still, 8 votes being cast that week, right? So, you know, potentially
that's a 7. Oh, yeah, it'll be 8 again. That's right. Ocho votos.
I mean, that could take it from a 5-3 vote to a tie vote potentially and put the head of household in an awkward position. So, I mean, I don't know. It's strange. 2 votes is like, I'm not sure. I think what's maybe more telling is if that's the situation, if James would have to basically publicly announce who the 2 people's votes that he's canceling are, or if somebody, I think that could potentially impact the game. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it being helpful to James in any way.
Okay.
The fact that Kathy Griffin gave her this exact power last year and it didn't come to fruition.
The last laugh.
Fill me with confidence.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about a couple other things from the episode. Then we'll get into your questions. And then let's start with Nicole's dream that we referenced. Boy, four bros in a hot tub. I mean, is there any lasting image that's more iconic of this season? The four laughing bros in the hot tub, sort of ribbing Nicole, Alex.
Corey's never looked happier.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just such a turn. You know, that was really the scene that to me made me reanalyze and stop. Say, how did we get here, man? I mean, this looked like such a different season 4 weeks ago that was shaping out.
Well, the irony of all this is here's Nicole who, going back to Big Brother 16, you know, around bedtime, you know, she gets these sort of premonitions and she sort of like has that one night where she says to Derek, like, you're Dan. And now here she is in Big Brother 18 with Cody's brother. And it's almost that she can't see again. Hey, remember the guy that you said was being Dan? Well, there's a guy here who's trying to be Derek.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, and you're dreaming about Derek.
It's coming from somewhere. Listen to the premonitions.
Yes.
Dream of Derek with the light brown hair.
Yeah, Derek with a showmance even, right there in the house. Yes, it's like Derek. And also, who is Derek with?
My brother, Cody.
It's bad when the player's subconscious is better than the player themselves.
Yeah.
What is going on?
So anyway, that's Nicole's dream. The other really crazy thing that we saw was this segment where Paul started out and what did he do, Alex? He put shaving cream in Big Misha's coffee?
Yeah, I think it was like lotion you put in the drink there.
Yeah. Ironically, if it was the lotion that James put the mayonnaise in, it would have been fine. Very edible. But
that's actually a condiment.
So then Big Misha gets so mad, and all of a sudden that she's like this Henry Rowan Gardner type character, and is able to throw an apple so hard that she made this terrible bruise into Paul's back.
Oh! Right on the kidney, Rob.
Yeah, yeah, right on the kidney. Kurt, Big Misha, do you think she's a violent person now?
She doesn't want us to think that. That's for sure. I'm waiting now for there to be like 3 weeks down the road, some sort of apple throwing challenge so that so that the conspiracy theories can kind of start. I think that would just be hilarious if the producers played right into that.
Left out of the edit here, by the way, is that the DR pretty much immediately called her in there and probably read her the riot act. So it's hard to say how much the crying is, I feel bad about what I did for Paul, and how much the crying is, oh my God, Big Brother yelled at me, I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
So just to throw that out there.
Very funny scene. And really bizarre, the whole thing of hashtag sad Mish, Kurt.
Did they? I'm just curious, Alex. Did they call Paul in at all for basically putting an inedible substance into her beverage?
No, that flies in this house. You know, okay. In any house with James, that stuff's totally cool. I mean, okay. If you can put people's clothes in the freezer, certainly you can tamper with. If you can make them put mayonnaise on their face and, yeah.
It's a very pranky house. Okay. Let's take some questions here before we get into the live feeds, and then ultimately Kurt's update on Frankie Grande. This is from John Clark, who wants to say, will they start the jury tomorrow? Alex, this is completely speculative, we would think, but do you believe the jury will begin with this potential eviction?
Yeah, probably. It makes sense. I mean, they've just bigger juries these days. I think, you know, now is probably likely.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question from Wesley, who says, is it refreshing that Paulie isn't allowing Z to affect his game moves? He's fully aware he's in the game and not the Bachelor. So let's start there. Kurt, are you finding any comfort in the fact that Paulie isn't being distracted by Zakiya?
I guess yes, because I think you're looking back a few weeks, it seemed like the women were potentially going to be the same players in the game, and I think it's really flipped like after weeks one or two, and the fact that they just can't keep focus. It's nice to see that at least both halves aren't completely focused on the showmans, that at least one half of it is actually playing the game and playing it pretty well.
Alex, what do you think about that? Because to me, I don't find it particularly refreshing. I think that if we were talking about how, boy, Z is really doing a good job of keeping her head in the game. I mean, I'm trying to think back in Big Brother showmances. I mean, we had last season where Clay was willing to sacrifice his game for the love of Shelley, who I unfortunately they did not stand the test of time. I'm trying to think of if it's more often the male or the female in these showmances that tends to, like, if one of them is thinking about the game, who is it more likely to be?
It's a good question. I feel like,
I mean, often it's neither.
More often than not, it is, yeah, it's either or. I think in general in the past, it's been, well, we've gotten a mix. You know, it's like Danny and Dominic, both competitive. Jeff and Jordan, Jeff's kind of competitive. Jordan really isn't. Brendan and Rachel, both very competitive. James and Natalie, neither one seems very competitive.
But in the case of like Jeff and Jordan or Brendan and Rachel, you know, both of whom have since married since the show, there wasn't a point where, you know, Brendan or Rachel were talking about like, you know, that, hey, you know, this other person, I'm more concerned about the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, to me, Amanda McRae is always the interesting one, because that really was kind of a flip scenario in that Amanda was always going to go out before McRae. Usually in these showmances, the bigger target is the guy by default. You almost always see Brendan go before Rachel, Jeff targeted before Jordan. That one was unique to me simply because of they both were fully aware of the idea, and McRae was actively talking about how it was his strategy to kind of keep Amanda around as a shield.
Okay. Francesca says, should Michelle have been expelled for bruising Paul? We hear BB does not condone physical violence, and yet they allow a violent tantrum like Michelle's. Skid by. All right. Kurt, let's take a vote. Let's take a vote. Kurt, how do you vote? Should Big Mish be expelled from Big Brother?
I guess I vote pissed.
Pissed.
That's a no.
Pissed.
Yeah. No, I'm fine with not, you know, parsing the rules that closely.
Yeah. Alex, should Big Mish be expelled from Big Brother?
No, I think it was handled correctly. And just because we didn't see it on the show proper doesn't mean she didn't get reamed out in the diary room. I'm sure she probably did. And I'm sure she got the message.
No, I don't think it's that big a deal. I think if Paulie's not pressing or Paul's not pressing charges, I think that he's fine.
Over it.
Yeah.
Austin, never cared.
Uncle Austin wants to say, is the Big Brother audience still allowed to boo and yell when the contestants get evicted? Really, I don't believe we've seen a real boo from the audience. I believe since Christine back in Big Brother 16. Alex, do you have any knowledge of this?
I don't think it's I think it's discouraged strongly, but I don't think they're, you know, kicking people out if they decide to voice their opinions. I think they do try to maybe tailor it a little bit and make sure the audience seems like they're excited to be there and maybe, you know, kind of fill the seats with those people. But I don't know.
Yeah. The Christine thing was so weird.
That was dumb.
The audience was so against her. I don't even. What was she doing?
Holding Cody's hand a couple times.
Yeah.
Because she's like, yeah. God forbid you need like human contact in 100 days. No, you're married, Christine. Live like a nun in there.
Boo. All right. Redneck Gamer 185 said, do you guys think that Paul oversold his speech today in case she has the round trip? Kurt, what'd you think about the speech he gave where he's like, that, oh, day, I need someone on the block who can handle it, who will be cool, who's not going to freak out. What do you think?
I thought he was definitely overselling it. I think you just say, you know what? I chose someone randomly. It was you. The fact that, because she was able to basically call up counterpoint after counterpoint, like somebody should go up different. You know, Zakiya wouldn't freak out. You know, Nicole already said that she would volunteer, but now she's not having to compete, so why can't she volunteer now? I don't think he had a lot of good responses to some of the points that she was raising. So I think at that point, just say, you know what, I'm going to put you up. Don't kind of dance around it and try to get her to kind of volunteer.
Yeah, it was so silly, Alex, this whole line of questioning of, we need a volunteer, we need someone to go up, that's friendship.
Yeah, I feel like that should have been a bigger red flag today than it probably was. Just, Paul is clearly nervous, and that's why he keeps reiterating, repeating, restating, rephrasing. That's what people do when they're scared to finish talking because they're worried about what you might say, so they don't want to stop.
Sketch.
My city, is the double eviction going to be the one and only shot for anyone to get out, Pauly? Now, typically, it seems like Big Brother players try to wait until that double eviction to go big game hunting and take out somebody who is a major player in the game. Alex, is that the way that you see people this season potentially taking a shot? Or do you think they'd be so scared, even during a double eviction, to take a shot at Pauly?
Yeah, it's a combination, right? Because some people are scared and some people don't see it as being in their best interest at all. You've got a couple of bros now who really think that Pauly's like a ride or die situation. And that's the problem, right? Because with a few votes in his pocket and a few other votes too scared to do anything, it quickly becomes a scenario where even if someone were to put him up, it's hard to see where a majority could come from.
You know, just in sort of like taking the pieces out of this, and we could talk about how Derek ultimately did it, but okay, it seems like the next few weeks look like for Pauly, if I'm being honest, the plan is, okay, we got to get rid of First Day, then Mish and Z, and then what? James and Nicole? James and Natalie and Nicole? And you imagine like he's left with some scenario that looks like him, Paul, Corey, Victor, and Bridget. Does that sound like the right final five, Alex?
I could definitely see him wanting to go that route. I could also see him wanting to maybe keep Nicole past Victor. But yeah, for the most part, that sounds pretty apt as to where his head is at currently.
And the move is then to bring in Bridget to be that Victoria in the playbook and then have that three votes and then take out Corey and Victor?
He's definitely more gung-ho on that than the other guys are. But yeah, I've been pretty surprised this week by how not other people aren't trying to. You saw Day try it, but Day was not in the position to be able to try it because Bridget is out on Day at this point after the whole Frank situation. Pauly's the only other person that's really trying, and that's the problem. That's why other people are going to look around in a couple weeks and not have the votes they need, is because Pauly's picking up pieces here where other people are getting complacent.
But just to talk through that scenario, and the answer may very well be that nobody else is thinking, but how does Victor think he's getting to the end? How does Corey think he's getting to the end?
I think it's kind of, you know, with Paul, you know, Victor is, since he's come back in the house, Paul has said, just lay low and do what I tell you and you'll be fine. And it's worked for him so far, so I don't see him deviating from that too much. And then Corey feels like he's in a good spot right now. He's got Nicole and he's got the boys. So as long as that kind of insulation stays around him, I don't think he's going to feel like he needs to shake anything up.
Okay. Let's do a couple more questions and then we'll get to live feed. Steven says, does Bridget have a significant shot to win the game? I will alter this question. Alex, does Bridget have any shot to win this game?
Yeah, an outside chance, just because there's a lot of people this season who I think aren't going to be very good. They may have friends right now, but I think there's several people this season who aren't very good at alienating someone in a way that makes them want to vote for you. And that's a very tricky thing to do. I mean, I've heard you do whole podcasts on how to navigate that. It's a very tight rope to walk. And I think there are some people this season who are more comfortable just saying, all right, well, if I have to vote that person off, I'm just going to never talk to them again. I've got to like frame them as an enemy in my head. And then that's going to create a disconnect where then you don't have their jury vote, as opposed to someone like Derek, who knew he was voting Jocasta out, but stayed up all night praying with her anyway. Maybe Jocasta didn't take that the right way, but 9 out of 10 jurors respect that and vote for that at the end.
All right, let's do one more question and then live feeds. This is from Jameer Fleed. Since Pauly was so pro-PP in his diary room session tonight, can we assume that he is more loyal to Paul than he is to Corey, James, and Victor? Is Pauly the real final two? Alex, from what you're seeing, should we believe this? Is PP for real? Is PP the new hitman?
Boy, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on in Paulie's head, and Paulie really kind of wears the pants right now. So if he
even though
has
I think
something
that Hitman
else in
was
mind,
only real because Paul because my brother Cody took Derek to the end. I think Derek would have taken Victoria to the end.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but you know, hey, history is history, and now we go have barbecues, and that was Paulie's debut on Big Brother. Lest we forget, playing cornhole at Derek's house.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we're going to do now.
Auspicious beginnings.
We're going to get into the live feeds. We'll preview the vote coming up on Thursday. Talk more about the action from or the lack thereof from the last couple days. And then we'll get into later on talking about what's going on in Big Brother UK. If you want to know about that segment and don't want to find out about the live feeds, we'll put a time code in the podcast version that will let you know where to skip ahead to hear when we talk about the BB UK of it all. We got a great show, Eviction, coming up tomorrow night. We'll be live at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. Until then, let's do some spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Kidney. Warning. Yes.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Oh, my God. Right in the kidney, the spoiler song. All right. So
it hits hard. It hits hard.
I got, yeah. Yes. All right. I don't want people to think I'm a violent person. All right. So let's get into talking about the action on the live feeds. Alex, I was watching some live feeds last night, watching Paulie and Zakiya really getting into it in the Paris room. Let's talk about what's going on.
So yeah, that dynamic is deteriorating rapidly. I don't know if you caught the moment where Zakiya was crying by herself in the tunnel, but that certainly was a moment that I think illustrated a lot of where things stand.
Yeah. I mean, he was just like grilling her about like it was like this interrogation. And I didn't even know what he was trying to find out from her.
Yeah. Well, I think it just illustrates the control and the level to which he's able to assert dominance over this house right now. He can just operate with impunity because no one is willing to challenge him on any level right now. Basically, it's, you know, it was a conversation about, you know, something her and Michelle were talking about, got back to him. And then, you know, it's just the idea that she's talking about things that he doesn't want her talking about is enough for him to just, yeah, I mean, really, he's just trying to put fear into her to keep her loyal is really what a lot of this is coming from.
He was just talking in circles over and over again. Like, I was watching for like a solid hour, and he's just asking her the same question over and over again.
That's
like,
what the feeds feel like this summer, Rob. That's why.
He's just like, all right, if I'm being honest, I need to know who you're talking to. Why did you say that? Who are you leaking the information to? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, Look, can I be honest? Can I be honest with you? Can I tell you something? You know, make no mistake. I know what's going on. If you don't want to tell me what's happening, then you're not being honest and you're being a phony. I feel like you're being a phony. And then she's like crying and then it's just really terrible.
It's so dumb too. It's like she didn't share a comment Michelle made about how the guys were like whispering in a room together and stopped when Zakiya came by.
Yeah.
And like just the fact that she doesn't have like a full disclosure policy when it comes to everyone else. Like she didn't drop everything and go tell Paulie what Michelle said. Like, it is a bit absurd. And even more absurd is the fact that Zakiya is totally feeding into it completely. I mean, it's just
And then it was really brutal. Then after the fact, then she's like hysterical crying, and then she, like the other women in the house are going to comfort her, and then the bros are in another room, and all every different guy is coming through there, and he's like, I had to give her a piece of my mind. As a matter of fact, I told her that if you mess with me, then you can't. And everyone's like, yeah, good job, man. You're the man now, dog.
It's totally, so crazy. I mean, I still can't get over how this is the season now where it's like, yeah, it's a few girls who are crying by themselves and a bunch of guys high-fiving themselves of the crying girl. How did we get here?
Yeah.
How did we get here?
We did it. There you go.
Friendship. What the hell happened, Big Brother 18?
I don't know. What happened? I don't know. All right, so let's get to the status of the vote right now, Alex. How does it look for Davon?
Looks bad. It's unfortunate because enough people that she thinks she maybe, that maybe would tell her if there was something she had to worry about, aren't saying anything to her, that she's not picking up on the few signs that people are giving her. I think she's got the inkling, and certainly she should be worried, but she's not in full-on panic mode. And I think, you know, Davon probably, I don't know that she would necessarily be able to save herself in full panic mode, but at least we know she's someone who works hard and would try to fight to stay. And she doesn't seem like she's fighting as hard as someone would who is sure they're going home tomorrow.
Yeah.
And right now she totally is. So it's a little frustrating. Her and Michelle and Zakiya get together regularly and have conversations, and they seem to have a pretty good grasp on where everyone lies in the house. And yet when it comes to this vote tomorrow, they're still pretty well in the dark.
Yeah, I believe it was Taryn on the Happy Hour this week talking about that Davon is like a very sensitive smoke detector. Was it Taryn or was it you?
That was not me.
Yeah, Taryn,
it can't take credit for that.
And that she, like, her guard is always up, and that because it's always, she's always like hyper sensitive about this stuff all the time, that she doesn't realize that the house is on fire for real this time, and that she yeah. needs to get out. And even if she wasn't going to be, there was no way that she could make it out, at least she would know that the house is on fire. So we will see ultimately how that goes for her. And then in terms of the votes to keep her, will Z and Big Meesh cast votes to save Davon tomorrow, or will it be a unanimous vote against her?
The guys want to set them up to do so. So unless they get wind that the fix is totally in 100%, they have an inkling, but I think they think there may still be a chance to save Davon with a James Natalie vote to tie, and then maybe that Paul, who wanted Bridget out initially, would be willing to break the tie in their favor. The problem is, at this point, Paul wouldn't be willing to go against Paulie. I don't see any scenario where they could make that happen.
So is everybody in on the fix to then hang out Big Meesh and Z to dry?
Everyone is totally down to do it. James and Natalie are just very complacent at this point. I think James really wants to just put his head down and get to next week. And I think he's not thinking that this is a time where he can make a big move. He was talking to the feeders last night on the camera and said he feels like his problem last year was that he played way too aggressive and way too hard, and that this year he's really trying to lay back. And I think the problem both seasons wasn't whether he was playing hard or soft. You know, he misinterprets the fact that he was already nominated two or three times by this point last year as that he was playing too hard. There's not necessarily rhyme or reason to why you were nominated in those spots so much more than it's just James doesn't have the best grasp on the relationships other people have in the house. He doesn't necessarily say who's with who until it's too late.
Yeah, I read on the Big Brother Network today that James and Natalie had a conversation last night where James told Natalie he's running the house, and Natalie said, no, Paulie is. And he said, no, I am. I'm the one running the house, and if I want to, I make the decision if Day stays or not.
It's pretty amazing that Natalie already does seem to have a better grasp on, you know, maybe if you don't want to give her the game, although I probably would, she's definitely got a better grasp on the group dynamic. She's the one, you know, Natalie is the one who's BFFs with Bridget going way back, and she's the one now who's trying to convince James that they need to find a way to save Day or they're going to be in trouble. And James doesn't seem to see what Natalie sees is going to be a problem for them in 2 or 3 weeks.
Kurt, Natalie winning the season is a perfectly acceptable outcome for Big Brother 18, and it's probably one of the most preferable outcomes on the board. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Yeah.
That's the Jordan Lloyd outcome. It really is. I mean, this is the scenario where the innocent, non-strategic, non-competitive, but very likable girl, if she's in the final two with somebody who just was really god awful, then yeah, of course you're gonna win, vote for her to win.
So the Natalie White of Big Brother.
Yes, the Natalie, yeah. Whatever her last name is, yeah. Of Big Brother. So that would be very interesting. But Alex, what might need to happen? The idea of her and James running the table seems implausible. You have to imagine this scenario like we talked about earlier with these showmances where James goes out, and then what would have to happen? People forget about Natalie. Maybe she could assume the Bridget role.
Yeah, I think so. Well, obviously, if Bridget, it'll be interesting to me to see how long Bridget stays, because at this point, ideally, you know, you would think she would fly under the radar now, but it does seem like there's plenty of people talking about targeting her for next week just because there's a kind of a lack of opposition to this, you know, power in the House. So it'll be curious, you know, if Bridget's still there and Paulie's, you know, firmly got her at that point, then I don't know why you necessarily need Natalie, but I could see a scenario where Natalie's certainly someone that's amenable to, as long as she is amenable to options. You know, there was some talk of putting her up as a pawn this week, and she gave a bit of pushback that the guys didn't like, and I think that's her problem, is if she's going to find herself in that spot, then you have to be a total, like, yes, whatever you need, I'll be your person on the block, I'll be your Victoria, just pretend you know nothing, even if you actually are aware of some things going on, and if she gives pushback, then that's not that.
So let's fast forward a week and pretend that Davon does not have the ticket to return to the House. And let's say that whatever person from the Alliance of Bros, what did they end up naming it, Alex? The executives?
That was, Polly likes the executives, but Victor thinks it's dumb. And then Victor likes the advancement.
It is dumb.
Well, the advancement is dumber, Rob. Victor's idea is super dumb.
That's real.
Yeah. No bueno. No bueno. Nobody can come up with a good alliance name. But that being said,
regulate.
Yeah. So hypothetically, so one of the bro, like Victor wins HOH. Okay, and the nominees are Zakiya and Big Meesh are up on the block. For James, Natalie, Bridget. I mean, how do they not look at that scenario next week and say OMG. That they're going to be gone. They're going to be the next people gone. And then it's us. How could they, Alex, how could they look at that and not know that they're going to be the next people that go up?
Yeah, well, you know, I've seen a lot of people saying that Paulie is reminding them of Amanda, where it's like such an iron grip on the game, but too soon, potentially. Like, surely someone, you know, they're already talking a little bit in the House about how Paulie's untouchable. Surely somebody would act on that soon, right? I think the difference potentially is, you know, where's your Andy, who is fully aware of this and has a long plan in mind? I think there's a lot of people now who are starting to catch on to the fact that Paulie's in such a great spot. They just either don't have a plan to do anything about it or don't even begin to know how to develop one. And that to me is the biggest difference between the Amanda situation and the Paulie situation.
But if Davon is not there, is there any chance that James and Natalie could end up working with Z and Big Meesh?
Oh, it's definitely possible, especially, you know, I mean, let's see, a lot of it hinges on Nicole. It really does come down to if Nicole is going to be so caught up in the Corey thing that she just, you know, goes along with the guys until she's picked off, or if she really decides, you know, this is my second chance and I'm here to play to win, and we get some element of Nicole really deciding to, you know, I mean, this is a girl who played team sports her whole life. She has a competitive drive. We're looking to see it at this point.
I mean, Kurt, it seems so obvious, especially if James is going to have the ability to cancel out two votes next week. Doesn't it seem like that if you're James and then you could make a run either to try to bro down or move forward with potentially a scenario where James is going to win every physical competition the rest of the way up against Davon, Zakiya, Big Meesh, and Natalie. Doesn't that make all the sense in the world for James?
It just seems like this is a season of blinders. And everybody who's not, that we don't see as necessarily being in a great position in the game, seems to have blinders on in some way, whether it's James having blinders and just is completely focused on Natalie, or if Big Meesh wins head of household, is she not going to target Bridget? If Davon comes back in, is she not going to potentially just target Nicole? It's just like, it seems like everybody has blinders on that keeps Polly, Paul, Victor, and Corey out of harm's way. And I think it's just, we're not in there with them. They're just to experience those blinders firsthand.
Okay. Alex, anything else from the feeds that you want to get into before we take a few more questions?
You know, it's funny because we saw Michelle's Saturday kind of, you know, emotional breakdown on the show tonight. And then apparently while that was going on the feeds, the same exact thing was going on where Michelle is just not having a good time of it. The problem with Michelle is that she is very sarcastic and has a biting wit and she's intelligent. So she says things that are very dry and harsh and sometimes mean. And then she has these pangs of self-realization where she remembers what it's like to be a live feeder and she realizes people are listening to all this. And then she freaks out because she thinks she's going to get out of the house and not be able to get a job. And so she really is kind of her worst enemy in these ways. It really is keeping her from playing any degree of a strategic game because she's so caught up in, you know, what do I have going on? What do people think of me? It is a bit of a microcosm of everything where it's like these girls are distracted by external forces that are keeping them from focusing on the one thing they're here to do, which is win Big Brother.
And then hypothetically next week, if Big Meech finds herself up on the block, how will she handle that, Alex? I mean, that seems like that will be just a complete meltdown.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to talk about, too. Right. We've seen this girl, to all due respect, we've seen her freak out, break down, and have multiple episodes. And she hasn't had to make a single difficult decision in this game yet. She hasn't had to vote on a friend. She hasn't had to sit on the block.
She had to decide to use the veto on Frank.
And she didn't do it. And Frank was an enemy. She was talking about getting him out.
And she still had a meltdown. Yeah.
Right. So, no, I mean, once she's faced with real adversity, I can't expect anything but a crumble after seeing what we've seen. That's just all I have to go on.
Yeah. And so much of these plans that we're talking about rely on Zakiya ultimately waking up and realizing that Paulie is a bad thing for her game. Leave anything else personal out of the mix. And that's the most frustrating part of all of this is that she just seems he's just not that into you.
Yeah.
Z.
And you know, somebody reminded me today, I'd forgotten about this, but when they asked Zakiya in the preseason interview, are you interested in a showmance? She said, no, but I'd be here to find a husband. I think that should have been a red flag
to
some of us.
Be honest.
She was serious.
That's
she's
not
playing
even
for Keats.
Something I'm looking for this summer.
Yeah, I don't make people uncomfortable, and I don't do marriage.
Yeah.
Okay, it's that Calafiori social game, nothing more.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Mackenzie, who says, "Would Bridget have been had better luck pairing with Davon?" What do you think about that, Kurt? Do you think that for Bridget, she should have taken up Davon on her offer?
I think it would have been really, really hard for Bridget to bring herself to do that, even if Davon had approached Bridget before Paulie had. I think there's still the fact that Davon was instrumental in targeting Frank and getting him out. Should it have been something that she was doing? I think if she's aware enough to kind of see the social structure in the game, the promises that Paulie and Paul made to her and her safety had a lot more heft behind them than anything Davon could have offered at that point. I'm thinking that, again, even if Davon had approached her first, I think she still would have and should have gone with Paulie and Paul at this point. Go with the
numbers. Yeah, I agree. I think she has a much better chance to get to the end with that side of the house than teaming up with Davon, the likely person to go home on Thursday. Krish wants to say, what's Nicole's end game? Does she not realize she's on the bottom of the guys' alliance and has ostracized all the women? Alex, it's a question that many of us have been asking all season long. Does Nicole have a plan outside of her and Corey are going to have babies?
Yeah, well, I think it maybe speaks to a bit of the flaw with Nicole's game in general is I don't think she has a long-term plan when she plays Big Brother. I think she plays week to week. And I think we're seeing that with a lot of these players this season. And that's part of why the strategy is so poor is you see people reacting as opposed to people implementing ideas and carrying them out. Nicole really does strike me as someone who's just playing. Right now, she's playing to get herself to jury. Once she gets to jury, she's going to play to make it another week and then play to make it another week. The problem with playing to survive is that it fundamentally prohibits you from making moves you'll need to make to win. It's like Big Brother's like poker in a lot of ways. And one way that it really is there's going to come a time. And, you know, we talked about last summer where you said Steve and Johnny Mac are losers for not making the move now. And it turned out they waited a week and were still able to make the move. And it worked out okay for those guys. It's about there's going to come a time where you have to push in all the chips. And if you're not willing to ever do that, you can't win this game. It's not necessarily that you have to make big moves. You have to have a willingness to make big moves. You have to have the confidence that Paulie has to put himself on the block when he feels like he's in a good spot. You have to have that degree of comfortability and that innate sense of I'm okay with going out seventh if it means that if the move succeeds, it's going to set me up for victory. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're not seeing from so many players this season.
Yeah, I agree. And with Nicole, it was one thing where it was this idea of, okay, the showmances are a thing. I'm with Corey. Hawley is with Z. We'll take, you know, some sort of fifth wheel in either Day or James, and that's the five. At this point now, if Pauly and Z is not really a thing, if that showmance is not happening, I don't know where she sees herself in this power structure and where there's going to be a scenario where do they just think that, okay, the final four is going to be her and Corey and then Paul and Pauly, and that's ultimately going to be where then her and Corey have to win out?
Yeah, just keep it. Yeah, I mean, they have had conversations like that where it's like, we're going to get it to this point and then friendship. You know what I mean? Like, where it's just that's as far as you want to think it through. Five or four. There should be one of you that's thinking it past that. And I think there is. And his name's Pauly.
OK, let's do one more and then we'll talk some Frankie Grande with Kurt. Brent Showerman, is it either in Paul or Pauly's best interest to go to the final two together? When is the best time for one to take a shot at the other? Let's talk this through in terms of how likely that is to happen. Alex, do you believe that we will see a PP final two?
I think it's possible. Well, I think one of them gets cut before the end.
All right. Will PP be in the final three? Will PP make it to three?
Oh, man. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say one of them gets clipped before then.
Okay.
PP always pulls through.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're clipping each other. I don't think, I think Pauly beats Paul and he knows it. And I think Paul isn't thinking about that stuff right now. He wants friendship and he's going to get there with his boy and let the chips fall where they may, Cody style.
Yeah. Hey, that will be probably the most compelling drama, I think, of this entire season. When we get to the final three and it is Pauly and it is Paul and it is Bridget, it really will come down to, and Pauly will win that final three. And then Pauly will have to stand there in front of the world and announce either
my brother Cody
made the right move or the wrong move. And he's argued that that wasn't the problem. Taking Derek wasn't the problem. It was not having enough bros down the stretch. And really, if he was to take Bridget to the end, that will be an admission for the entire world that
my brother Cody
made the wrong move.
The latest I've heard on the feeds is that everyone who voted for Derek, so everyone but Jocasta and Donnie, was kind of bitter, actually, Rob. Okay, so that's what went on.
So if he takes Paul to the end and then loses to Paul, will this be another bitter jury, Kurt?
I think we're looking at a bitter jury regardless of who's in the final two.
Yeah.
If it's Natalie and James, I mean, that means, you know, Paul and Pauly get cut along the way. And it's... we're going to have, I'm predicting one of the most bitter juries in several seasons this year.
It is funny. It's like I think it was just today, Michelle on the feeds was talking about, well, I just don't want these people to win. And she listed like the entire house. She's like, well, me, I'd like me to win. Like, well, of course you would, Michelle. But I think the fact that she's not cool with any of those people winning does speak to kind of the way this is trending here.
Okay. All right. So more on this to come on Thursday night, 10:15 p.m. Eastern. Alex, is there anything in particular that we should be on the lookout for? Any sort of like house meeting planned or anything like that, or late night rendezvous?
I haven't seen anything the last couple hours, so maybe, but as far as I know, not really. Oh, one thing I did want to mention, and I felt like it belonged in the spoiler section. I believe it was yesterday, the cameraman zoomed in and zoomed out and zoomed in and zoomed out on that Ocho Rios poster, Rob. So I think that's your confirmation right there. They don't zoom in on that poster like that unless it means something.
Give me a percentage chance that Davon has the round trip ticket.
99.
Prime time 99. Kurt.
Just a few days ago, I wasn't that sold, but I'm totally sold now.
Okay, Alex is totally sold. Kurt, do you have a feeling on this?
I'm really hoping that was just a cameraman kind of trolling the viewers.
He got me, if so.
I'm going to say like a 1 in 11 shot. Is that?
All right. So Kurt is saying no correlation.
No. I'm hoping, you know, playing by escape room rules that everything is a clue. And if that's the case, I think there is probably I'll give it a 30% shot.
30% chance. 30 or
130%.
Yeah.
Kurt does a lot more escape the rooms than me. So I would go with his judgment.
Yes, he does a lot of escape rooms. I will say that I feel like 30%. I'll say higher. I'd say 50%. I think it's a very good chance. 50 is pretty good. So
Ahead and toe the middle, Rob. Very.
It either happens or it doesn't. It either happens or it doesn't. Okay. So then, Kurt, let's talk about the great Frankie Grande.
Who wants to shine bright like a Frankie?
We all do. All right, so Kurt, just give us a little bit of a setup of, you know, the 60-second Big Brother UK, Celebrity Big Brother UK. How is it different than a regular Big Brother in the U.S.?
Very much like the first season of Big Brother, the housemates nominate. Anywhere from two to all housemates are potentially up for eviction. And then the public, in this case, votes to save. In the civilian version, they usually vote to evict. For some reason, in the celebrity version, they vote to save. And the person who received the least votes to save is the person that is then evicted from the house.
Okay. So here's Frankie Grande in the Celebrity Big Brother UK house. Who were some of the other house guests in Big Brother UK, Celebrity Big Brother UK this summer?
There's really only two that people may have heard of. Aubrey O'Day from Celebrity Apprentice. Many people know her from that. So she's in as well. I think the only other person that people would likely have heard of is Rene Graziano from Mob Wives. Those are the three Americans who are in the house. People who do regularly watch Big Brother UK, there's a panelist that's often on there, Christopher Biggins, who's kind of just an entertainer and just general celebrity over there. He's on the show. But I'd say between, in terms of who from your listeners would be, they'd most be familiar with, would be Frankie and potentially Aubrey.
Okay, so how are the other house guests in BB UK reacting to the phenomenon known as Frankie Grande?
They like him.
They like him. How about this?
Yeah, the first round of nominations took place. Frankie only received one nomination. And in this case, everybody pretty much nominates, here's the two people I'd like to see up for eviction. And in this week, the top two vote getters are facing the public vote. Frankie received one nomination, and it was basically... the reason behind it was that he was seen as sticking to the Americans, not really getting to know the rest of the house that well. But otherwise, there's so much drama between so many of the other housemates that they're kind of taking center stage. And he's actually okay with that. He's been stepping back and has actually been like when the situation from Jersey Shore was on it several years ago, he's actually coming off as somewhat not just bearable, but a little bit likable on the show.
Friendship.
Wow. Yeah, Kurt has friendship for Frankie Grande. I have heard from people that he's been bearable on the Celebrity Big Brother UK.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'll say the phrase correctly this time, but that's damning with faint praise.
Yes. So, Kurt, how about as far as the viewers go, are the viewers liking him? Do you feel like that if he was on the block that the viewers would keep him?
I've been watching the after show as well. And there you see the panelists seem to like him. I'm drawing a blank. Nikki Graham was just on the show a couple days ago, and she was saying how much she loves Frankie. And they went to the audience. The audience seems to mostly like Frankie. There's some people who feel like he's putting on a little bit of an act. If you watch him, and yeah, think about that. If you watch him, the bit where he's entering the house and his videotape package, his VT, as they say, he comes off. It's very annoying and very Frankie as we're used to him. But once he's in the house, past that first night, he's actually kind of settled down quite a bit.
Okay. You know, Alex, do the Nicole and Paulie ever talk about Frankie on the live feeds?
Not really. Occasionally,
is there a falling out there between the Califioris and Frankie?
I don't know if there's really a falling out, but it's just not. I don't know if they really hang out as much as some other people. Like, certainly Derek comes up all the time. Cody comes up all the time. Zach comes up occasionally. It's mostly Derek and Cody that get talked about the most. The Hitman, Rob.
Hitman.
Best alliance in Big Brother history.
The Hitman.
Right?
Okay. All right. So, Kurt, any memorable antics from Frankie Grande so far?
Just in actually today's episode, where they basically, it's on every day of the week, the show is, and it pretty much each show captures what happened on the previous day. So their task yesterday was the house is divided into humans and robots, and the robots have to serve the humans, and basically there's rules they have to follow. And at the end of the week, one team is going to win based on rules violations in a series of contests. Frankie is a robot. He's actually playing it up very well in terms of the movement and how he kind of talks to people. But he gets to wear a lot of glitter as part of his robot costume, so I think he's just very content and happy with that.
I was going to say, I bet he loves this. Yeah, he gets to be a showman, and he gets to just cover himself in glitter.
Okay. Exactly. It's like his out of his wildest dreams.
So, Kurt, overall, Celebrity Big Brother UK this season, are you friendship or pissed at this new season?
I'm a little bit... I'm actually right in the middle. It's too... You, a couple seasons ago by this time, three people had been evicted from the house, like ejected from the house based on their behavior. It's actually, there's been some good fights. Frankie's not been involved in any of them. It'll probably start to pick up, I think, in, I'm guessing, about a week. It's only a four-week run. I think that's the thing about the celebrity versions. It's much shorter. Not a lot of drama has happened. The stuff that has happened has not involved Frankie. So I think he's safe for a while. I'm just waiting for, you know, things to potentially heat up after the first round of evictions.
Kurt, what's the best way to win Celebrity Big Brother UK? Do you want to be part of the drama, or do you want to be a floater and sort of be above the drama?
I think it's good to kind of pick your battles. They don't want people who don't get in. They don't want winners who don't get involved at all. I think if you can look at it, if you can be very self-aware and also aware of how a situation is probably coming off to the viewers outside the house, and say, okay, who's probably looking like the good guy? Who's looking for the bad guy?
Who's looking like the good guy? Who's looking like the bad guy?
Exactly. That'll help you kind of pick who to potentially throw in with, or at least support in terms of defending in that particular argument. But as long as you're yourself and not coming off as trying to portray something that you're not, you'll probably go far in the game. That's what they consider game playing. There's kind of game playing is looked at negatively, and that's really just putting on a fake front as to who you are. But Frankie was actually very upfront saying, I came in here looking to kind of be nice and kind of toe the line. But one of the tasks that happened very early on the house, he's like, I'm going to have to start playing the game a lot sooner than I wanted to. And he was upfront and forthright about it in the diary room and to the viewers. So I think that's actually a positive way to handle this, is to be very upfront with the viewers about who you are and what your plans are.
Okay. All right, Kurt, what is your percentage chance, to put you on the spot one more time, that Frankie Grande will be the winner, following the footsteps of the great Gary Busey, and become a Celebrity Big Brother UK winner?
I think the odds are very high, based on what I'm seeing right now, that he'll make it to the finale. Keep in mind, the finale is like the top five people out of the current 15 that are in the house. So the finale, so it's top five. I'm pretty confident he will probably make it that far. Again, the situation on his season made it to the finale. He was probably out of the younger group of people in the house, he was the one that made it the furthest. So I see him making it to the finale, but unless he actually starts to get involved a little bit more than he is, I don't see him necessarily winning. So I'd say right now, like a 10% chance.
And then, Kurt, how can people watch Celebrity Big Brother UK if they are so inclined?
It's actually available on a YouTube channel that has yet to be canceled. Maybe we could potentially post that in the show notes if you are so amenable to that. Otherwise, people can tweet to me and I can send them the link as well. I don't necessarily want to publish it on Twitter in case that gets a shutdown.
Okay. You could follow
Curse.
Yeah. You can follow Kurt on Twitter. He is at Kurt Clark. And then, of course, Alex Kidwell, at Alex Kidwell. And we'll be back again tomorrow night. Brent Wolgamott will be joining me to talk about the eviction and the drama. Will Davon be returning to the house? And, of course, if we have a new HOH as well. All coming up here on Thursday. So much great stuff on the website from this past week. Of course, my interview with Eddie. I did a special press conference yesterday on Periscope where I talked about what the coverage of Big Brother 19 might look like with the Survivor returning as well. Plus all of the great content that we have on the Rehap Ups, including the Big Brother Rehappy Hour that we had. Kiva and Haley Strong did a preview of the Rio Olympics. Plus we have a Bachelorette finale coverage, Bachelor in Paradise coverage, not to mention everything going on over on Post Show Recaps with Mr. Robot once again returning tonight with Josh Wigler and Antonio Mazzaro on Post Show Recaps. Plus, Josh Wigler has a bunch of summer movies that he covered as well, all on Post Show Recaps. So, lots of stuff for you to check out. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody.